took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Well, hello, friends. This is Pastor Dave.
And Pastor Barry.
We're here for another program entitled Glorious Day. Oh, man, this just excites me, brother. You know,
that
we're doing this. I mean, God's got us doing this. And we're just sharing with each other. The Holy Spirit's leading us. I know this because, you know, when we talk about what we're going to be talking about beforehand,
right,
and then we get started, we get rolling, it's a whole different deal.
It's God's holy work.
It's God's holy work.
Not ours.
Right. It is not ours.
And we are humble servants and we are empty vessels.
Right. So if any of you know us out there, you'll know that when something appropriate, appropriately impactful on your life is said,
profound.
Yes. Eloquent, erudite, whatever words you want to pull out of the dictionary, and it strikes you in a powerful way, that is the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, Barry and I, just the two of us, on our own, without grace, we don't do so well.
Well, we're in charge of all the
right?
Yeah, God's got
right.
All the rest.
That's right. But tonight, the theme is accountability to God and others. And this came from Brother Barry when we were planning the next three programs that we're recording tonight. Mm-hmm. And so this first one, accountability to God and others, it's a big deal, folks. It's a big deal. We're not going to cover all that ground tonight, but we're going to get you focused, right?
Right.
So there's a scripture, Romans 14, verse 10 through 13, and I'm going to ask my brother Barry to read that.
You got it. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we all stand before the judgment seat of God, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. The word of the Lord.
And thanks be to God, it is the word of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how much this is being preached in the church. I don't, because I'm not in every church every Sunday. You know that.
I'm not either.
I know, because we're together in our church.
That's right.
but
uh-huh.
from what I get from the input from other brothers and sisters in Christ and things that I see when I go, you know, online to look at what other churches are doing, I don't see that. So I'm not going to say they're doing it or not doing it, but I'm just going to say God put it on our heart to explore this issue of accountability.
Mm-hmm.
And we came up with three important points. And Barry, since you were so good at reading the scripture, would you share those points with our listeners, and then we'll unpack them one at a time?
Absolutely, because I'm wearing my new glasses, so I can actually see now. Yeah.
I didn't notice that. They look good on you.
Well, thank you.
Well, I mean, as far as glasses go, you know.
Yeah. Point number one, all will come before God, saved and unsaved. The unsaved will be judged because of their unforgiven sin. The saved will be in Christ and will have his righteousness.
Ooh. Yeah, that's a lot right there. We may not get past point one.
Right. You know, David, this is a very sobering thought, and I think that people need to hear this. If it's not being preached, they need to hear it from us.
Yeah.
Because this is God saying you have two choices.
Yeah.
You accept my son, and you will be seen as a righteous person in my eyes, or you can reject him and reject me, and you will be judged accordingly.
And that's the scriptures give us that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and while we're on the first point, maybe we ought to just unpack it before we go to point number two.
Okay.
But you and I have both been pastoring for a while, and in all the several decades that I've been blessed to serve the Lord as a pastor, the people I run into the most that cause me concern are the ones that want wiggle room.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to their sin life. And
I don't see that in the Bible. There's no chapter on wiggle room.
There is a few people in there that wanted to wiggle, I'm sure.
Yes.
You know, we can just assume that, you know, Herod, for instance, the king, the Israeli king, under the thumb of the Romans during the time of Jesus. But, you know, people like that not really necessarily following God, so to speak, you know, so they're really off on that their own journey.
That's right.
And that's not going to, didn't bode well for him, and nor for anybody else. But we all come before God. We are all before God right now. Mm-hmm. I don't know where you are listening today, in your car, at home, waking up, going to sleep. I have no idea where you are, but all of us, you included, stand before God, and that the day will come when we will know we'll be actually in His presence after our bodies have not been able to contain the spirit. You know, we die, spirit goes to before God, and this is the thing that concerns me the most as a believer, mm-hmm. Barry, and I know it does you too, is that it's my desire to share the gospel with as many people as I can so that they can hear it and that they can really at that point in their life hopefully turn to Christ. Now some may hear it and it plants a seed and they decide, I don't want to mess with that right now. I'm not going to believe. I'm happy believing in myself and the sports team that I follow and the money in my bank or whatever. But at some point, all of that pales for most people, mm-hmm. and they realize that God is God and Jesus is real and the Bible is true and that all the things said in the Bible are important and pertinent to them. You know, it's pertinent anyway whether you realize it or not.
Right.
You know, I mean, you can deny gravity,
but it's still there
believe me. Yes. Well, I won't talk about, you know, at my age, I'm a fall risk, but I won't talk about that. But, yeah, so it's there whether you believe it or not. So to reconcile or accountability to God is critical because there will be a judgment.
There will be a judgment. And I was a little kid growing up in a big Italian family, David, and I can remember my mother in her own special way.
Yeah.
You know, we had five kids, so she was herding cats all the time. But as far as her thoughts on this particular subject, she would look at us and wave her finger and say, everything you'll ever do in your life, you're doing right in front of the cross. That's all I have to say about that.
Wow.
When you're a little kid, that puts a lot of pressure on you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'm so thankful and grateful that she did that because, yes, everything you do, God is watching every moment of your life. Yeah. And people need to realize that because we don't know what the next moment, hour, day brings.
No.
You know, as you like to put it, David, we all have a use-by stamp on us, like what you see at the grocery store.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that could be an hour from now.
That's right.
It could be in a few minutes. It could be tomorrow morning. And we need to think about this because you mentioned, you know, I'm okay with my bank account. I'm okay with this or that, and life is good, and my sports team's winning. What do you want to be doing on the day of the Lord? Or what do you want to be doing at the moment that He calls you? What condition do you want to be in?
I think some people, too, have this idea that salvation is optional. Heaven's a nice place. Maybe there's a better place for me. You know, that they're not really thinking. You know, but the truth is, folks, I know this is true. Barry knows it's true, and I hope most of our listeners do. But the only game in town is getting right with God. God made all this that we see, and although we don't see.
Yeah.
But He made all this to enable us in our lifetime, when we're born and we grow up on earth and in creation, that at some point we hear His loving call to receive Him, to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, to have the salvation that He wants us to have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and at some point we're going to actually do a program, I believe, kind of getting behind the scenes on that.
Okay.
You know, as far as God's, as much as we can tell from Scripture about God, why God created everything. But, you know, God was happy all by Himself. You know, He doesn't have an ego to stroke. He doesn't have, you know, He's not head counting. He's not saying, well, you know, I've got 72 billion people in heaven already, and there's 42 billion people that are kind of getting, they're going to be warm for, you know, the rest of time. But, no, He doesn't do it that way. But this whole business has everything to do with God. It's all about God. And it's also about you.
Mm-hmm.
And what is your decision about God?
And if you haven't made a decision yet, I love this second point where we're saying no one can cancel this accountability.
Yeah.
You can't.
You can't.
For those of you who have been at a party or in a public setting and you've said something upsetting to your wife and you just let it roll, but you know in the back of your mind that there's going to be an accountability for that statement you made. And you get the look from your wife saying, we're going to talk about this on the way home.
Yep.
And you will, even if a comet comes screaming into the earth,
yeah,
you're going to have this conversation. Well, this is how it is here. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to happen, David. We're all going to have our moment. We're going to have our moment with God. And people need to focus in on that.
Yes.
And you're not giving up anything but the bad stuff. You're not giving up anything that you think has got value to it. You're not.
No.
You're gaining everything. You're losing nothing by coming to Christ.
God's giving us himself.
Right.
What more could you want? This yeah, I mean, it's everything. God is everything.
That's right.
You know, all of this material stuff that we see, may it not maybe in our lifetime, but at the end of time, God's going to take it all back.
Right.
You know, he's going to, we talk about the redemption, the God redeeming, and he certainly wants to redeem humanity. He wants to take us back to be with himself, those that are willing to do that. But all of creation, at some point, God is going to take it all back.
Right.
And so what then we're going to be left with is, well, the important things is us, those of us who wanted to be with God, wanted to have him in our life and have us to be in his life.
Right.
And then there'll be that other place. We call it hell. And it's a place where souls who have been born and never chose God are going to spend eternity. And that's just what the scripture tells us. That's God's word. It's true. But here's the thing. We're not telling you all this to scare you.
Mm-mm.
Just get your attention. You know, no. We talked about this in a previous program that, I mean, no good evangelism happens when people try to scare other people into salvation.
Not a good sales technique.
You know, it's not. And in fact, some people that are, you know, kind of against that to begin with, when you start, you know, wailing on them with the word of God, it's even worse for that. Forget it. I'm gone. You know, but God loves us so much. Why can't we see instead of, and we do talk about the judgment of God because we're told in Scripture that there is a judgment. But God says you can escape that if you'll come to Christ, if you'll invite him into your life and get the best life you've ever had here. Well, on earth, as a prep for the kingdom of God forever.
And we can't even imagine how wonderful it is.
I have no...
If we're having a great life here through Christ, we can't process it in our puny little brains, our human brains.
The closest I can come to it, brother, is because I love to eat, you know? And of course, the things I'm not supposed to eat. But the closest I could come to beginning to imagine the wondrous nature of the kingdom of God would be if I had a full pan of lasagna in front of me, and then for dessert, I had a plate full of eclairs and a couple of French silk pies, you know, the chocolate with the...
A couple of them, yeah.
And, I mean, that I could begin.
And then the label inside says zero calories, zero sugar.
Well, that's only in heaven, bro.
I know.
That's at the heavenly banquet. You know, a lot of great food and no calories. But for me, I can't even get close to that.
You know, the third point here, too, we're not just accountable to God, but to each other.
Yeah.
I just want to make that point with you, David. David and I are accountability partners. I think every Christian brother and sister needs to have an accountability partner. I mentioned that humans have little brains and we don't always see the bigger picture. And we also have something called an ego. Everybody has one. And in some cases, your ego is shouting just a tad louder than God in your heart. And you get all excited and go off in a direction. And if you don't have accountability partners in your life, you just may be starting a brand new religion somewhere. Or negating the one that you have. And that's so important because we're all going the same direction. We have our eyes on Christ and we're heading to heaven. That's where we're going. And along this journey, if you don't have someone in your life to say, no, wait a minute, that scripture was never meant to be interpreted that way, you can easily get lost or drift.
Right.
And in the drifting, you can get so far from the original path that God has created for you that you're in the wrong place doing the wrong thing, and you won't bear fruit.
That's right.
You got to bear fruit where you're planted, and you need people to talk to, and in the good times and the bad, too. We're here not to judge each other. That's not what we're supposed to do. But in previous programs, David and I talked about truth and love.
Yeah.
And that goes for your fellow Christians, your brothers, your sisters. And we throw those words around, but they're ever so true. You are my brother, David. And
yes.
The women of our church are my sisters, and we deeply love each other. And out of that love comes concern when you see a brother or sister drifting away.
Yeah, and it's important that we, first of all, and I think what's critical, we observe those things,
mm-hmm.
Is then to go first to God. I believe, now some people will go first to their, what they think they ought to do,
mm-hmm.
may not be the best choice. What is God telling you about? You have a concern for your brother or sister, you see
right.
them, obviously they're doing something that's hurtful to them, maybe to other people.
Right.
It's always wise to say, okay, Lord, I want to pray for so-and-so. I see them doing. Show me what I need to do. Do you want me to go and speak to them, or would you then, if not me, send someone
mm-hmm.
whom they will respect? And in most cases, there's ample time to listen to the Holy Spirit. And mm-hmm. then if the Spirit says, yeah, go speak to them, and I'll give you the words at that time, that's good enough,
mm-hmm.
Because what you're doing is you're going, you love them,
Right.
And it's because of that love that you want to help them and really to bring that divine vision of blessing and rescue and restoration
mm-hmm.
into them, that they're not seeing the need for at that time. Right? I mean,
No, this is true. And, we see what we see and we perceive what we perceive, but it's not always the truth.
Yeah.
We have our frailties. We have our limitations.
Oh, yeah.
Before we preach, David and I, or any other pastor, preacher, minister, before you preach, something that we believe in is that you need to take a moment and pray to God that he has a message for them, not your message, but his message.
That's right.
And if you begin to infuse your own thoughts and your own system of interpretation into your preaching, for instance, you could be, as we have here, throwing a stumbling block, a hindrance to people that were quite ready to come to Christ, and then you got in the way.
Yeah.
That's why it's so important to always check in with the Holy Spirit. Check in with God, and check in with your accountability partners before we open a mouth.
Yeah.
How's that, David?
That's a wonderful plan, and it really is a godly order of things. And we're just really saying to you folks, I guess, lift this up into our theme
mm-hmm.
And our purpose for doing this radio program is God has shown us, and we ourselves get a lot out of it, we get edified too in putting it together because we need to learn stuff. But that the church at large, God wants to prepare us for this coming revival. To be honest, folks, most people, I'm going to speak now, church I know best is the American church,
mm-hmm.
American Christianity. And that we are not exactly prepped and ready to go for what's coming. Now, God is clearly working with us and raising us up. But part of that is people like Barry and I,
mm-hmm.
And we're not alone in this, reaching out to the church at large to share God's word with the effect that it gets your attention and you begin praying about it and saying, Lord, what does this mean for me in my life right now? Because I'm a servant of yours. I want to do it right. I know the time is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Big things are about to pop,
Right.
And I got to be ready. And so one of the most fundamental things is what we're talking about here. That's being accountable to God and to each other.
Amen, brother. And you know, I think of St. Francis of Assisi, who was not a priest. He was not trained in a seminary.
No.
Oh, all he had was a working relationship with Christ and an ongoing conversation with Christ, something we all would envy, you know, because this guy was pulled out of the wreckage of his life.
Yes.
And when he had his followers, he looked at them and he said, the church in Europe is empty and dead.
Yeah.
Let's go into the streets and preach the good news.
Mm-hmm.
And I love his approach because he said, do not condemn anybody. Get people excited about this. Don't preach for more than 10 minutes, particularly in a language that they don't speak. He says, and let them know the joy of Christ.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good message.
Yep.
You know, he didn't judge anybody. And they were judging him, they meaning the people that were of wealth, where he yes. came from. Look, he threw everything away, and he's just walking the streets as a hobo, if you will, a homeless guy.
Yeah.
But his approach, his Jesus-like life that he lived, opened up the doors of the church again. People came back. People began to worship again. They needed someone to invite them back in.
Wow.
And we need to be mindful of that, because some people view churches and pastors and ministers as someone who's going to condemn and judge them.
And that's not our job.
It's not our job.
You know, something, when you just said what you said about St. Francis, who I'm one of his fans too, to be mm-hmm. honest.
Yeah.
Because of the attitude that he brought. It was a clear, godly, Christ-focused attitude.
Mm-hmm.
But here is what I think, I want to put what we've been saying now into a certain context, and it's particularly this, that here's what I want my life to be, my Christian life, the witness, is that I want to present Christ through my life in a living, loving way, not with words of chastisement, or even sometimes correction, but I want Jesus to so guide and shape my life
mm-hmm.
that when people see me living it, in a sense, and Christians too, I mean, brothers and sisters in Christ, that it causes them to think about where they're not living the life as they could or as they should, and that they're ashamed.
So what you're saying is that you're preaching a sermon by the way in which you live your life.
That's like Francis did, and I think more of us could do that
mm-hmm.
as God gets a hold of us and changes us. You know, we talk about the transformation in the Christian life. When Jesus comes in, he begins that, and
right.
it's a lifelong process. Well, you know, I'm not going to tell you, because it would sound very unhumble of me to say that I think Jesus has done a tremendous job in my life, and I'm darn near perfect when it... No, I'm not.
Ahead of me
Wait,
in line,
no,
right?
no. Got a lot yet to do. I got mm-hmm. a lot of growing yet to do. But
Same
I
here.
Do hope, I do hope that when the essence of Christ in me reaches you, when you see that you see what he wants you to see about you,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that this is the kind of life he has for you too, and a life that reaches out from the inside, you know, instead mm-hmm. of so many people, they hold themselves in.
Right.
They protect themselves. And it's a risky business being a really living, alive Christian on the world today. But to say, I want Jesus to come out of my life so much that they see him.
Mm, right.
And they see his compassion, his mercy, whatever he wants to mediate through my ministry. But, you know, that's why I'm not going to judge anybody.
Well, one of the biggest compliments you or I or any other preacher can get, could have, possess as gold, is that somewhere along the line, you brought someone to Christ
yeah.
and let him have his moment with Christ at the cross. And later in life, people will say, you used to be a hot mess. You did all this.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, I can't remember the guy's name, but he brought me to Christ, and I'm saved, and I'm accountable to God in a way that I'm comfortable with now, because I'm accountable as a disciple of Christ. But I can't remember the guy's name. That's what we want.
Yeah,
we don't save anybody, David.
Yeah.
Earlier at dinner, Dave and I were talking, and we were quoting a friend of ours, Ed. Hi, Ed, who always says, if you're a preacher, you know, you need to tell people that, you know, God is in management and the preachers are in sales.
Yeah,
and I like that, because, you know, who are we? You know, we're someone who's excited about everything, and we want everybody to come to Christ, but we don't save anybody, David.
No. He will give us what you need to hear for you to be saved if you don't know Jesus.
Right.
And then when you meet Jesus, he'll give you what you need to pass that gospel message on to other people.
Right.
And that's part of the accountability. Are we doing what God's called us to do?
Right.
And
we have to answer for that.
We have to answer for that. I think at some point down the road in another program, we might, again, look more closely at this, maybe from the standpoint of what can the body of Christ do for its members or should be doing. There, Jesus lays out some discipline stuff in the Gospels, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Good rabbinic discipline. We can talk about that.
Oh, I'd love to.
There's tons of subjects yet to deal with, but we are slowly running out of time. We have a couple of minutes. And I guess, Barry, any last messages? By the way, I will say to you, listen, if your curiosity's piqued during this program, the next program next week, we're going to kind of build on this. We'll talk about.
I can't wait for that program. This one was fun.
Yeah.
But like you say, David, you could do hours and hours and hours upon each one of these programs.
We could.
And I wish we could. I really wish we had the time to do that. But who knows, maybe one day we can.
Maybe if we did it. Well, if we did hours and hours, two things would happen.
What's that?
Well, one thing is we'd lose listeners, and two, we'd be falling asleep. So we're not going to do that. Would you like to pray for our listeners,
yes,
brother?
It'd be an honor and privilege. Oh, Holy Father, merciful Father, loving Father, today we discussed a judgment with your listeners, with all these people who are either saved or thinking about becoming saved. And Holy Father, I ask that you bless each and every one of us as we go about the business of bringing this good news, that you give us the words, your words, not ours, your thoughts, not ours, but your love and your mercy shine through everything we say. And Holy Father, make us living examples of the gospel. Let us preach the gospel in the way in which we live our lives, the decisions we make, those who we gather around us. Lord, I just ask you to give us peace, because we can't provide peace unless we possess peace. And Lord, we need that, because it's a rough road sometimes, Lord, and we just need your help.
Mm-hmm.
Holy Father, we know that we're accountable to you, and we are accountable to each other. And thank you for that, because that is a blessing. Have an accountability partner in our life, Lord, was just a gift, and it's a gift that keeps on giving. So, Lord, we thank you for everything you do for us and for our listeners, and God bless you all. And we offer up this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Mm-hmm.
And to all, we'll talk to you next time.
God bless.
God bless.
Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word,
that we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know he is the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust you, how I prove trust you more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus' sin.